Christian sits in the cleft of her behind.
You're pleased to see me,
she says, and wiggles, squeezing my dick. I'm very pleased to see you. My fingers skate over her belly to her sex, and I caress her there and everywhere as I remind her that there are advantages to waking up together. She's warm, willing, and ready when I reach over to the bedside table, grab a condom, and lie on top of her, taking my weight on my elbows. I ease her legs apart, then kneel up and rip open the foil packet. I can't wait until Saturday. She looks up at me, eagerly.
Your party?
No, I can stop using these fuckers. I roll the condom on.
Aptly named.
She giggles. Are you giggling, Miss Steele?
No,
she says, trying and completely failing to keep a straight face. Now is not the time for giggling. I stare her down, daring her to giggle again.
I thought you liked it when I giggle.
Not now. There's a time and a place for giggling. This is neither. I need to stop you, and I think I know how. Slowly, I ease into her.
Ah,
she says in my ear. And we make sweet, unhurried love. No more giggling. Dressed and armed with a coffee and a large trash bag from Mrs. Jones, I head up to my playroom. I have one duty to perform while Anna has her shower. I open the door, step inside, and set down my coffee. It took months to design and source everything for this room, and now I don't know when or if I'll use it again. Don't dwell, Gray. I face the reason I'm here. In the corner, my canes. I have several, from all over the world. I run my fingers over my favorite, fashioned from rosewood and the finest leather. I bought it in London. The others are made from bamboo, plastic, carbon fiber, wood, and suede. Carefully, I load them all into the trash bag. I'm sorry to see them go. There, I've admitted it to myself. Anna is never going to enjoy these. It's just not her thing.
What is your thing, Anastasia?
Books. It will never be canes. I lock up the room and head to my study. Once there, I pack the canes in a closet to be dealt with at a later date, but for now, she won't have to see them again. At my desk, I finish my coffee, aware that Anna will be ready for breakfast shortly. But before I join her in the kitchen, I call Welch.
Mr. Gray.
Good morning. I wanted to talk to you about Jack Hyde. Anna is beautiful and elegant in gray when she enters the kitchen for breakfast. She should wear skirts more often. She has great legs. My heart swells with love, with pride, and humility. It's a new and exciting feeling that I hope I never take for granted.
What would you like for breakfast, Anna?
Gail asks her.
I'll just have some granola. Thank you, Mrs. Jones.
She sits beside me at the counter, her cheeks pink. I wonder what she's thinking about. This morning, last night, the spreader bar. You look lovely, I offer.
So do you.
Her smile is demure. Anna hides her inner freak well. We should buy you some more skirts. In fact, I'd love to take you shopping. She doesn't seem overly impressed with this idea.
I wonder what will happen at work today,
she says, and I know she's referring to SIP to change the subject. They'll have to replace the sleazeball, I mutter, but when, I don't know. I've placed a moratorium on any hiring until we've conducted a staff audit.
I hope they take on a woman as my new boss.
Why?
Well, you're less likely to object to me going away with her,
she says. Oh, baby, you'd appeal to women, too. Mrs. Jones places my omelet in front of me, distracting me from my brief and extremely enjoyable fantasy of Anna with another woman.
What's so funny?
Anna asks. You are. Eat your granola, all of it, if that's all you're having. She purses her lips but picks up a spoon and devours her breakfast.
Can I take the sob today?
She asks when she finishes the last spoonful. Taylor and I can drop you at work.
Christian, is the Saab just for decoration in the garage?
No. Of course not.
Then let me drive it to work. Leela's no longer a threat.
Why is everything a battle? It's her car, Gray. If you want. I concede.
Of course I do.
I'll come with you.
What? I'll be fine on my own.
I try a different tack. I'd like to come with you.
Well, if you put it like that.
Anna acquiesces with an accepting nod. Anna is beaming. She's so delighted with the car. I'm not sure she's concentrating on what I'm saying. I show her the ignition on the center console.
Strange place,
she says, but she's practically bouncing in her seat and touching everything. You're quite excited about this, aren't you?
Just smell that new car smell. This is even better than the submissive special. The A3,
she says quickly. Submissive special? I try not to laugh. You have such a way with words, Miss Steele. I sit back. Well, let's go. I wave her in the direction of the exit. Anna claps her hands, starts the car, and pops the gear shift into drive. If I had known how thrilled she would be about driving this car, I might have relented and let her drive it sooner. I love seeing her this happy. The Saab glides up to the barrier, and Taylor follows us out onto Virginia Street in the Q7. This is the first time Anna has ever driven us anywhere, the first time she's driven me. As a driver, she's confident and seems adept. However, I'm not an easy passenger. This I know. I don't like being driven at all, except by Taylor. I prefer to be in the driver's seat.
Can we have the radio on?
She asks, as we pull up at a stop sign. I want you to concentrate. She snaps back.
Christian, please, I can drive with music on.
Choosing to ignore her attitude, I switch on the radio. You can play your iPod and MP3 discs as well as CDs on this, I inform her. The sound of the police fills the car, a golden oldie, King of Pain. I turn it down. It's too loud.
Your anthem,
Anna says with an impish grin. She's making fun of me. Again.
I have this album somewhere,
she says. And I remember she mentioned Every Breath You Take in an email, the Stalker's Anthem, she called it. She's funny. At my expense. I shake my head because she was right. After she left me, I did loiter outside her apartment during my morning run. She's gnawing at her bottom lip. Is she worried about my reaction? About Flynn? What he might say? Hey, Miss Smartmouth. Come back. She stops abruptly at the red light.
You're very distracted.
Concentrate, Anna. Accidents happen when you don't concentrate.
I'm just thinking about work.
Baby, you'll be fine. Trust me.
Please don't interfere. I want to do this on my own. Please. It's important to me,
she says. Me? Interfere? Only to protect you, Anna.
Let's not argue, Christian. We've had such a wonderful morning. And last night was...
Her cheeks pink.
Heaven.
Last night. I close my eyes and see her ass in the air. I move in my seat as my body reacts. Yes. Heaven. And I realize that I've said it out loud. I meant what I said.
What?
I don't want to let you go.
I don't want to go,
she says. Good. I relax a little. She's still here, Gray. Anna drives into the SIP parking lot and parks the Saab. Ordeal over. She's not that bad a driver. I'll walk you to work. Taylor will take me from there, I offer, as we climb out of the car. Don't forget we're seeing Flynn at 7 this evening. I hold out my hand for her. She presses the remote, locking the car, and gives the Saab a fond look before taking my hand.
I won't forget. I'll compile a list of questions for him.
Questions? About me? I can answer any questions you have about me. Her smile is indulgent.
Yes, but I want the unbiased, expensive charlatan's opinion.
I fold her into my arms, my hands cupping hers and holding them behind her back.
Is this a good idea?
I stare into her startled eyes. They soften and she offers to forego seeing Flynn. She shakes one of her hands loose from my grip and tenderly strokes my face.
What are you worried about?
That you'll go.
Christian, how many times do I have to tell you? I'm not going anywhere. You've already told me the worst. I'm not leaving you.
Then why haven't you answered me?
Answered you?
You know what I'm talking about, Anna. She sighs and her expression clouds.
I want to know that I'm enough for you, that's all.
And you won't take my word for it? I release her.
When will she realize she's all I'll ever want?
Christian, this has all been so quick,
she says.
And by your own admission, you're 50 shades of fucked up. I can't give you what you need. It's just not for me. But that makes me feel inadequate, especially seeing you with Leela. Who's to say that one day you won't meet someone who likes doing what you do? And who's to say you won't, you know, fall for her? Someone much better suited to your needs.
She looks away. I knew several women who liked doing what I like to do. None of them appealed to me the way you do. I've never had an emotional connection with any of them. It's only ever been you, Anna.
Because you never gave them a chance. You spent too long locked up in your fortress. Look, let's discuss this later. I have to go to work. Maybe Dr. Flynn can offer us his insight.
She's right. We shouldn't be discussing this in a parking lot. Come. I hold out my hand and together we walk to her office. Taylor picks me up in the Audi and on our way to Gray House, I contemplate my conversation with Anna. Am I locked in a fortress? Maybe. I stare out of the window. Commuters hurry to work, wrapped up in minutiae of their daily lives. Here in the back of my car, I'm removed from it all. I've always been that way. Removed, isolated as a child, or isolating myself as I grew up, walled off in a fortress. I've been scared of feeling anything except my anger, my constant companion. Is that what she means? If it is, it's Anna who's given me the key to escape, and all that's holding her back is Flynn's opinion. Maybe once she's heard what he has to say, she'll say yes. A guy can hope. I allow myself a brief moment to see what real optimism feels like. It's terrifying. It could end badly. Again. My phone buzzes. It's Anna. Anastasia, you okay?
They've just given me Jack's job. Well, temporarily,
she says with no preamble at all. You're kidding.
Did you have anything to do with this?
Her tone is accusatory. No, not at all. I mean, with all due respect, Anastasia, you've only been there for a week or so, and I don't mean that unkindly.
I know,
she says, and she sounds demoralized.
Apparently Jack really raided me.
Did he now? I'm so glad that asshole is out of her life. Well, baby, if they think you can do it, I'm sure you can. Congratulations. Perhaps we should celebrate after we've seen Flynn.
Are you sure you had nothing to do with this?
Does she really think I lied to her? Maybe because of my confession last night. Or maybe they've given her the job because I won't let them recruit outside the company. Hell. Do you doubt me? It angers me that you do.
I'm sorry,
she says quickly. If you need anything, let me know. I'll be here. And Anastasia?
What?
Use your BlackBerry.
Yes, Christian.
I ignore her sarcastic tone and, shaking my head, I take a deep breath. I mean it. If you need me, I'm here.
Okay,
she says.
I'd better go. I have to move offices.
If you need me, I mean it.
I know. Thank you, Christian. I love you.
Those three little words. They used to terrify me, and now I can't wait to hear her say them. I love you too, baby.
I'll talk to you later.
Laters, baby. Taylor pulls up outside Gray House. Jose Rodriguez will be delivering some portraits to Escala tomorrow, I inform him. I'll let Gail know. He's staying the night. Taylor checks me in the rearview mirror, surprised, I think. Tell Gail that, too, I add. Yes, sir. As the elevator shoots up to my floor, I allow myself a brief fantasy about married life. It's weird, this hope, something I'm not used to. I imagine taking Anna to Europe, to Asia. I could show her the world. We could go anywhere and everywhere. I could take her to England. She'd love that. And we'd return home to Escala. Escala? Maybe my apartment has too many memories of other women. Perhaps I should buy a house that would be ours alone where we can create our own memories. But keep Escala. It's handy for downtown. The elevator doors open.
Good morning, Mr. Gray,
the new girl says. Good morning. I can't remember her name.
Coffee?
Please, black. Where's Andrea?
She's around.
New girl smiles and scurries off to make my coffee. At my desk, I start perusing houses on the web. Andrea knocks and enters a few minutes later with my coffee.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Andrea, good morning. I'd like you to send some flowers to Anastasia Steele.
What would you like to send?
She's had a promotion. Maybe some roses, pink and white.
Okay.
And can you get me Welch on the line?
Yes, sir. Do you remember that you're seeing Mr. Bastille today at Escala, not here?
Oh, yes, thanks. Who has the gym booked here?
The yoga club, sir.
I make a face. She stifles her smile.
Roz would like a word, too.
Thanks. After my calls, I go back to looking at houses online. I remember when I bought my apartment at Escala. A broker did it all for me, and it was bought off plan. It seemed like a great investment, so I didn't look further. Now I'm getting sucked into real estate websites, looking at property after property. It's addictive. I've coveted the big houses on the shores of the Sound for all the years that I've sailed. I think I'd like a home that looks out across the water. I grew up in a house like that. My parents live on the shores of Lake Washington. A family house. Family. Kids. I shake my head. Not for a long time. Anna's young. She's only 21. We have years before we have to think about kids. What kind of father would I be? Gray, don't dwell. I'd like to find a plot of land and build a house. Make it ecologically sustainable. Elliot could build it for me. A couple of the listings meet my criteria. One of the homes looks out across the Sound. The house is old, built in 1924, and has only come on the market in the last few days. The photographs are spectacular, especially at twilight. For me, it will be all about the view. We can knock this house down and start again. I check what time the sun will set this evening. 9:09 p.m. Maybe I could get an appointment to see the house at dusk one night this week. Andrea knocks and enters.
Mr. Gray, I have a choice of flowers here.
She places some printouts on my desk. This one. It's a huge basket of white and blush roses. Anna will love it. And can you get me in to see this house? I'll email you the link. I'd love to do an evening around sunset as soon as possible.
Sure. What would you like to say on the card?
Put the florist through to me when you've ordered the flowers, and I'll tell her directly.
Very good, Mr. Gray.
Andrea exits. 3 minutes later, she puts through the florist, who cheerily asks me to dictate a message for the card. Congratulations, Miss Steele, and all on your own. No help from your over-friendly neighborhood megalomaniac CEO. Love, Christian.
Got that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I go back to looking at houses online, and I know that I'm distracting myself from the anxiety I feel about Anna's appointment with Flynn later today. Displacing. That's what Flynn would call it. But my happiness hangs in the balance, and houses are distracting. What will Flynn say? After half an hour of looking at houses and not doing any work, I give in and call Flynn.
You've caught me between patients. Is it urgent? He says. I was calling to find out about Leela. She had another comfortable night. I hope to see her later this afternoon. And I'm seeing you too, yes?
Yes, with Anna.
There's a moment of silence between us, and I know this is one of John's tricks. He doesn't speak, hoping I will fill in the ensuing silence.
Christian, what is it?
This evening, Anna.
Yes.
What will you say?
To Anna? I don't know what she's going to ask me, but whatever she asks, I'll give her the truth. That's what I'm worried about.
He sighs. I have a different perception of you than you have of yourself, Christian. I'm not sure whether to be reassured or not.
I'll see you this evening, he responds.
Later that afternoon, I'm back from my meeting with Fred and Barney, and I'm about to click on another real estate agent's website when I notice an email from Anna. I haven't heard from her all day. She must be busy. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, June 16th, 2011, 3:43 p.m. Megalomaniac.
Is my favorite type of maniac. Thank you for the beautiful flowers. They've arrived in a huge wicker basket that makes me think of picnics and blankets. Kiss.
She's using her phone. Finally. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, June 16th, 2011, 3:55 p.m. Fresh air. Maniac, eh? Dr. Flynn may have something to say about that. You want to go on a picnic? We could have fun in the great outdoors, Anastasia. How's your day going, baby? Christian Gray, CEO. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, June 16th, 2011, 4 p.m. Hectic.
The day has flown by. I have hardly had a moment to myself to think about anything other than work. I think I can do this. I'll tell you more when I'm home. Outdoors sounds interesting. Love you. A. Kiss. P.S. Don't worry about Dr. Flynn.
How does she know that I'm fretting about him? From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, June 16th, 2011, 4:09 p.m. I'll try not to worry. Laters, baby. Kiss. Christian Gray, CEO. In the gym at Escala, Bastille is on a roll, but I get a couple of kicks in and knock him on his ass.
Something is eating you, Gray. Same girl?
He sneers as he springs off the floor. None of your goddamn business, Bastille. We circle each other, looking for an opportunity to take each other down.
Ah, I love that you have a woman in your life giving you a hard time. When do I get to meet her?
I'm not sure that's going to happen. Keep your left up, Gray. You're vulnerable. He comes at me with a front kick, but I feint and skip left, avoiding him.
Good move, Gray.
After my shower, I get a text from Andrea.
Realtor can see you this evening, 8:30 p.m. Is that okay? Her name is Olga Kelly.
Great, thanks. Please text me the address. I wonder what Anna will make of the house. Andrea sends me the address and the access code to the front gates. I memorize the code and find the house on Google Maps. While I'm working out a route from Flynn's place to the house, my phone rings. It's Roz. I stare out of the balcony window as she gives me some good news.
Fred has come back to me. Kavanaugh is a go,
she says. Roz, that's great.
He has a few technical issues that he wants his people to discuss with our people. He'd like a meeting tomorrow morning. Breakfast. I've told Andrea.
Tell Barney and we'll go from there. I respond,
and I turn away from the view of Seattle and the sound to find Anna watching me.
Will do. I'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye. I hang up and stride over to meet my girl, who looks sweet and shy as she stands on the threshold of the living room. Good evening, Miss Steele. I kiss her and hold her close. Congratulations on your promotion.
You've showered.
I've just had a workout with Claude.
Oh.
Managed to knock him on his ass twice. It's a memory to be savored.
That doesn't happen often?
No. Very satisfying when it does. Hungry? She shakes her head and seems worried. What? I ask.
I'm nervous about Dr. Flynn.
Me too. How was your day? I release her.
Great. Busy. I couldn't believe it when Elizabeth, our HR person, asked me to fill in. I had to go to the senior editor's lunch meeting, and I managed to get two of the manuscripts I was championing considered.
She doesn't stop. She's excited. Her eyes are shining. She's passionate about what she's been doing. It's a pleasure to behold.
Oh, there's one more thing I should tell you. I was supposed to have lunch with Mia.
You never mentioned that.
I know, I forgot. I couldn't make it because of the meeting, and Ethan took her out to lunch instead.
The beach bum with my sister. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I see. Stop biting your lip.
I'm going to freshen up,
she says quickly, before I can ask her any more about Kavanaugh and my baby sister. I've never really thought about my sister dating. There was that guy at the ball, but she didn't seem particularly interested in him. I usually run here from home, I mention, as I park the Saab. This is a great car.
I think so, too. Christian, I...
My gut tightens. What is it, Anna?
Here.
From her purse, she hands me a small dark box wrapped in a ribbon.
This is for you for your birthday. I wanted to give it to you now, but only if you promise not to open it until Saturday, okay?
I swallow to contain my relief. Okay. She takes a deep, nervous breath. Why is she anxious about this? I shake it. It sounds small and plastic. What the hell has she given me? I look up at her. Whatever it is, I'm sure I'm going to love it. I give her a broad smile. My birthday is on Saturday. She will be here on that day, or so this gift implies. Doesn't it?
You can't open it until Saturday,
she says, waving a finger at me. I get it.
Why are you giving this to me now?
I place it in my inside pocket.
Because I can, Mr. Gray. Why, Miss Steele, you stole my line. I did. Let's get this over with, shall we?
Flynn stands as we enter his office. Christian? John? We shake hands. You remember Anastasia? How could I forget? Anastasia, welcome.
Anna, please,
she says as they shake hands. He directs us toward his sofas. I wait for Anna to sit down, admiring the fit of the navy dress she's changed into, and I take the other sofa but sit close to her. Flynn takes his usual chair. I place my hand on Anna's and give her hand a squeeze. Christian has requested that you accompany him to one of our sessions, Flynn says. Just so you know, we treat these sessions with absolute confidentiality. He stops when Anna interrupts.
Oh, I've signed an NDA,
she says quickly. Shit. I release her hand. A non-disclosure agreement. Flynn gives me a puzzled look. I shrug but say nothing. You start all your relationships with women with an NDA, he asks me. The contractual ones I do. Flynn stifles a smile. You've had other types of relationships with women? Shit. No, I respond, amused by his reaction. He knows this. As I thought. Flynn turns his attention back to Anna. Well, I guess we don't have to worry about confidentiality, but may I suggest that the two of you discuss this at some point, As I understand, you're no longer entering into that kind of contractual relationship. Different kind of contract, hopefully, I say, with a look at Anna. She blushes. Anna, you'll have to forgive me, but I probably know a lot more about you than you think. Christian has been very forthcoming. She glances at me. An NDA? That must have shocked you. Flynn continues.
Oh, I think the shock of that has paled into insignificance, given Christian's most recent revelations,
she says, and her voice is low and husky. I shift in my seat.
I'm sure. So, Christian, what would you like to discuss?
I shrug. Anastasia wanted to see you. Perhaps you should ask her. But Anna is staring at a box of tissues on the coffee table in front of her.
Would you be more comfortable if Christian left us for a while?
Flynn asks her.
What?
Anna's eyes dart to me.
Yes,
she says.
Fuck. But, shit.
I stand up. I'll be in the waiting room.
Thank you, Christian,
Flynn says. I give Anna a long look, trying to tell her I'm ready for this commitment that I want to make to her. Then I stalk out of the room, closing the door behind me. Flynn's receptionist, Janet, looks up, but I ignore her and wander into the waiting room, where I flop into one of the leather armchairs.
What will they discuss?
You, Gray. You. Closing my eyes, I lean back and try to relax. Blood thrums through my ears, a thump, thump, thump that's impossible to ignore. Find your happy place, Gray. I'm in the orchard with Elliot. We're kids. We're running through the trees, laughing, picking apples, eating apples. Grandpa is watching us, laughing too. We're in a kayak with Mom. Dad and Mia are ahead of us. We're racing Dad. Elliot and I are paddling with all our 12-year-old fury. Mom is laughing. Mia splashes us with her paddle.
Fuck! Elliot!
We're on a Hobie Cat. He has the tiller, and we're flying the hull, tearing downwind across Lake Washington. Elliot whoops with joy as we trapeze over the side of the hull. We're wet, exhilarated, and fighting the wind. I'm making love to Anna, breathing in her scent, kissing her throat, her breast. My body responds. Fuck. No. I open my eyes and stare at the utilitarian brass chandelier on the white ceiling and shift in my seat. What are they talking about? I get up and start pacing, but I sit down again and leaf through one of the National Geographic magazines, the only publication that Flynn offers in his waiting room. I can't concentrate on any of the articles. Nice photographs, though. I can't bear this. I pace once more, then sit down and check the address of the house that we're going to visit. And if Anna doesn't like what she hears from Flynn and doesn't want to see me again, I'll just have to get Andrea to cancel. I get up, and before I know what I'm doing, I'm outside, walking away from the conversation. The conversation about me. I walk three times around the block and return to Flynn's office. Janet says nothing as I stride past her, knock on the door, and enter. Flynn gives me a benevolent smile.
Welcome back, Christian,
he says.
I think time is up, John.
Nearly, Christian. Join us.
I sit down beside Anna and place my hand on her knee. She gives nothing away, and that's frustrating, but she doesn't pull her knee out of my reach.
Did you have any other questions, Anna?
She shakes her head.
Christian?
Not today, John.
It may be beneficial if you both come again. I'm sure Anna will have more questions.
If that's what she wants. If that's what it takes. I clasp her hand and her eyes meet mine.
Okay?
I ask gently. She nods and gives me a reassuring smile. I hope the squeeze I give her hand lets her know how relieved I am. I turn to Flynn.
How is she?
I ask him, and he knows I'm referring to Leela.
She'll get there, he says.
Good.
Keep me updated as to her progress.
I will.
I turn to Anna. Should we go and celebrate your promotion? Her shy nod is a relief. With my hand on the small of her back, I escort Anna out of the office. I'm anxious to hear what was discussed. I need to know if he put her off.
How was that?
I ask, aiming for nonchalance as we walk out onto the street.
It was good.
And I'm dying here, Anna.
She looks at me and I have no idea what she's thinking. It's unnerving and annoying. I scowl.
Mr. Gray, please don't look at me that way. Under doctor's orders, I am going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
What does that mean?
You'll see.
Will she marry me or not? Her winsome smile doesn't give me any clues. Hell, she's not going to tell me. She's leaving me hanging. Get in the car, I snap, and I open her door. Her phone rings and she gives me a wary look before answering.
Hi,
she says enthusiastically.
Who is it?
Jose,
she mouths at me, answering my unspoken question.
Sorry I haven't called you. Is it about tomorrow?
She says to him, but without looking away from me.
Well, I'm actually staying with Christian right now, and if you want to, he says you can stay at his place.
Oh, yes. He's delivering the stunning photographs of Anna, his love letters to her. Embrace her, friends, Gray. She frowns and turns away, crossing the sidewalk to lean against the building. Is she okay? I watch her carefully, waiting.
Yes, serious,
she answers, her expression stern. What's serious?
Yes,
she responds, and then she scoffs, indignant.
Of course I am. You could pick me up from work. I'll text you the address. 6?
She grins.
Cool. I'll see you then.
She hangs up and walks back toward the car. How's your friend? I ask.
He's well. He'll pick me up from work, and I think we'll go for a drink. Would you like to join us?
You don't think he'll try anything?
No.
Okay. I hold my hands up. You hang out with your friend, and I'll see you later in the evening. See? I can be reasonable. She purses her lips, amused, I think.
Can I drive?
I'd rather you didn't.
Why exactly?
Because I don't like to be driven.
You managed this morning, and you seem to tolerate Taylor driving you.
I trust Taylor's driving implicitly.
And not mine?
She exclaims and puts her hands on her hips.
Honestly, your control freakishness knows no bounds. I've been driving since I was 15.
I shrug. I want to drive.
Is this my car?
Of course it's your car.
Then give me the keys, please. I've driven it twice and only to and from work. Now you're having all the fun.
She folds her arms, standing firm, stubborn as ever. But you don't know where we're going.
I'm sure you can enlighten me, Mr. Gray. You've done a great job of it so far.
And just like that, she defuses the moment. She's the most disarming person I've ever met. She won't answer me. She's left me hanging, and I want to live the rest of my life with her. Great job, eh? I ask through my smile. She flushes.
Mostly, yes.
And her eyes are alight with amusement. Well, in that case. I hand her the keys and open the driver's door for her. I take a deep breath as she pulls into the traffic.
Where are we going?
She asks, and I have to remind myself that she hasn't lived in Seattle long enough to know her way around. Continue along this street.
You're not going to be more specific?
She asks. I give her a slight smile. Tit for tat, baby. She narrows her eyes. At the light, turn right, I say. She stops rather too suddenly, throwing us both forward, then indicates and moves on.
Steady! Anna!
Her mouth sets in a grim line. Left here. Anna puts her foot down and we speed up the street.
Hell, gently, Anna.
I grab the dashboard.
Slow down!
She's doing 38 through the neighborhood.
I am slowing down,
she shouts as she brakes. I sigh and get to the heart of what I want to talk about, trying and failing to sound casual. What did Flynn say?
I told you, he says I should give you the benefit of the doubt.
Anna signals to pull over. What are you doing?
Letting you drive.
Why?
So I can look at you.
I laugh. No, no, you wanted to drive, so you drive, and I'll look at you. She turns to say something to me.
Keep your eyes on the road,
I shout. She screeches to a halt just before a traffic light, releases her seatbelt, and storms out of the car, slamming the door.
What the hell?
She stands on the sidewalk with arms crossed in what's both a defensive and combative pose, glaring at me. I scramble out after her.
What are you doing?
I ask, completely thrown.
No, what are you doing?
You can't park here. I point to the abandoned Saab.
I know that.
So why have you?
Because I've had it with you barking orders. Either you drive or you shut up about my driving.
Anastasia, get back in the car before we get a ticket.
No.
I run my hands through my hair. What's got into her? I look down at her. I'm at a loss. Her expression changes, softening. Damn it, is she laughing at me? What? I ask.
You?
Oh, Anastasia, you are the most frustrating female on the planet. I throw my hands in the air. Fine, I'll drive. She grabs my jacket and tugs me against her body.
No, you are the most frustrating man on the planet, Mr. Gray.
She looks up at me with guileless blue eyes that pull me under, and I'm drowning, and I'm lost. Lost in a different way. I put my arms around her, holding her close. Maybe we're meant for each other, then. She smells amazing. I should bottle this. Soothing, sexy Anna. She hugs me hard and rests her cheek against my chest.
Oh, Anna, Anna, Anna.
I kiss her hair and hold her. It's weird, embracing in the street. Another first. No, a second. I held her on the street near Esclava. She moves, and I release her, and without saying a word, I open the passenger door and she gets in the car. At the wheel, I start the car and pull into the traffic. There's a Van Morrison song playing over the sound system, and I hum along as we head toward the on-ramp for I-5. You know, if we had gotten a ticket, the title of this car is in your name, I tell her.
Well, good thing I've been promoted. I can afford the fine.
And I hide my amusement as we head north on I-5.
Where are we going?
She asks. It's a surprise. What else did Flynn say?
He talked about FFFSTB or something.
SFBT. The latest therapy option.
You've tried others?
Baby, I've been subjected to them all. Cognitivism, Freud, functionalism, gestalt, behaviorism. You name it. Over the years, I've done it.
Do you think this latest approach will help?
What did Flynn say?
He said not to dwell on your past. Focus on the future. On where you want to be.
I nod, but I don't understand why she hasn't accepted my proposal. That's where I want to be. Married. Perhaps he said something to discourage her. What else? I ask, trying to get an inkling of what he might have said to dissuade her.
He talked about your fear of being touched, although he called it something else. And about your nightmares and your self-abhorrence.
I turn to meet her gaze.
Eyes on the road, Mr. Gray.
She scolds. You were talking forever, Anastasia. What else did he say?
He doesn't think you're a sadist.
Really? Flynn and I have differing views on this. He cannot step into my shoes. He doesn't really understand. Anna continues.
He says that that term's not recognized in psychiatry, not since the 90s.
Flynn and I have differing opinions on this.
He said you always think the worst of yourself. I know that's true. He also mentioned sexual sadism. But he said that was a lifestyle choice, not a psychiatric condition. Maybe that's what you're thinking about.
Anna, you have no idea. You will never know the depths of my depravity.
So one talk with the good doctor and you're an expert. She sighs.
Look, if you don't want to hear what he said, don't ask me.
She says. Fair point, Miss Steele.
Gray, stop hounding the girl.
She turns her attention to the passing cars. Damn. I want to know what you discussed. I say in a tone that I hope sounds conciliatory. I leave I-5 and head west on Northwest 85th Street.
He called me your lover.
Did he now? Well, he's nothing if not fastidious about his terms. I think that's an accurate description, don't you?
Did you think of your subs as lovers?
Lovers? Leela, Susanna, Madison. Each of my submissives comes to mind. No, they were sexual partners. You're my only lover. And I want you to be more.
I know, I just need some time, Christian, to get my head around these last few days.
I look over at her.
Why didn't she say that earlier?
I can live with that. Of course I can give her some time. I'd wait until time stands still for her. I relax and enjoy the drive. We're in the suburbs of Seattle, but heading west toward the Sound. I think I've timed this appointment just right, and we'll catch the sunset over Puget Sound.
Where are we going?
She asks. Surprise. She gives me a curious smile and turns to take in our surroundings through the window. 10 minutes later, I spy the corroded white metal gates that I recognize from the photograph I've seen online. I pull in at the bottom of an impressive driveway and punch the security code into the keypad. With a creaky groan, the heavy gates swing open. I glance at Anna. Will she like this place?
What is it?
She asks. An idea. I steer the Saab through the gates. The driveway is longer than I thought. To one side, there's an overgrown meadow. It's big enough to install a tennis court or basketball court. Or both.
Hey, bro, let's shoot some hoops.
Elliot, I'm reading.
Reading is not going to get you laid.
Fuck off.
Hoops, come on, man.
He whines. Reluctantly, I abandon my tattered copy of Oliver Twist and follow him out to the yard. Anna looks stunned as we arrive at the grand entrance portico and I park beside a BMW sedan. The house is sprawling and actually quite imposing from the outside. I cut the engine, and Anna's baffled.
Will you keep an open mind? I ask.
She arches a brow.
Christian, I've needed an open mind since the day I met you.
And I can't disagree. She's right, as ever. The realtor is waiting inside the large vestibule.
Mr. Gray?
She greets me warmly and we shake hands. Miss Kelly.
Olga Kelly.
She announces to Anna.
Anna Steele.
She responds. The realtor steps aside. The house smells a little musty from what must be months of disuse, but I'm not here to look at the interior. Come. I direct Anna and take her hand. Having studied the floor plans at length, I know where I want to go and how to get there. I lead her from the vestibule through an archway into an inner hallway, past a grand staircase, and into what was once the main living room. There are several open French doors on the far side, which is great because the place needs airing. Tightening my hold on Anna's hand, I take her through the nearest door, onto the terrace outside. The view is every bit as arresting and dramatic as the photograph suggested, the Sound in all its glory at dusk. Already there are lights twinkling from the distant shores of Bainbridge Island, where we sailed last weekend, and beyond that, the Olympic Peninsula. There is so much sky, and the sunset is astounding.
Anna and I stand hand in hand and stare, enjoying the spectacular view. Her face is radiant. She loves it. She turns to look at me.
You brought me here to admire the view?
I nod.
It's staggering, Christian. Thank you,
she says, and stares once more at the opal sky. How would you like to look at it for the rest of your life? My heart starts hammering. This is one hell of a pitch, Gray. Her face whips to mine. She's startled. I've always wanted to live on the coast, I explain. I sail up and down the Sound, coveting these houses. This place hasn't been on the market long. I want to buy it, demolish it, and build a new house. For us. Her eyes grow impossibly large. It's just an idea, I whisper. She looks over her shoulder into the old living room.
Why do you want to demolish it?
She asks. I'd like to make a more sustainable home, using the latest ecological techniques. Elliot could build it.
Can we look around the house?
Sure. I shrug. Why does she want to look around? I follow Anna and the realtor as she gives us the tour. Olga Kelly is in her element as she takes us through the numerous rooms, describing the features of each. Why Anna wants to see the whole house is a mystery to me. As we file up the sweeping staircase, she turns to me.
Couldn't you make the existing house more ecological and self-sustaining?
This house? I'd have to ask Elliot. He's the expert in all this. Anna likes this house. Keeping the house wasn't what I had in mind. The realtor takes us into the master suite. It has full-height windows opening onto a balcony that looks out at the spectacular view. We both pause for a moment and stare at the darkening sky and the last traces of the sun that can still be seen. It's a glorious vista. We wander through the rest of the bedrooms. There are many, and the last overlooks the front of the house. The realtor suggests that the meadow might be a suitable place for a paddock and stables.
The paddock would be where the meadow is now?
Anna asks, looking dubious.
Yes,
the realtor replies. Back downstairs, we make our way through to the terrace once more, and I rethink my plans. The house wasn't what I imagined living in, but it looks well-built and solid enough, and with a comprehensive update, it could serve our needs. I glance at Anna. Who am I kidding? Wherever Anna is, that's my home. If this is what she wants. Outside on the terrace, I hold her. Lot to take in? I ask. She nods. I wanted to check that you liked it before I bought it.
The view?
I nod.
I love the view, and I like the house that's here.
You do.
Christian, you had me at the meadow,
she says with a shy smile. This means she's not leaving. Surely. I cup her face, my fingers in her hair, and pour all my gratitude into one kiss. Thanks for letting us look around, I say to Miss Kelly. I'll be in touch.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Anna,
she says, eagerly shaking hands with each of us. Anna likes it. My relief is palpable as we climb into the Saab. Olga has switched on the external lights and the driveway is edged with winking lamps. The house is growing on me. It has a sprawling, grand quality to it. I'm sure Elliot can work his magic on the place and make it more ecologically sustainable.
So you're going to buy it?
Anna asks when we're on our way back to Seattle. Yes.
You'll put Escala on the market?
Why would I do that?
To pay for...
She stops. Trust me, I can afford it.
Do you like being rich?
I want to scoff. Yes. Show me someone who doesn't. She chews her finger. Anastasia, you're going to have to learn to be rich, too, if you say yes.
Wealth isn't something I've ever aspired to, Christian.
I know. I love that about you. But then again, you've never been hungry. In the periphery of my vision, I see her turn and look at me, but I can't make out her expression in the darkness.
Where are we going?
She asks, and I know she's changing the subject. To celebrate.
Celebrate what? The house?
Have you forgotten already? Your acting editor role?
Oh, yes. Where?
Up high at my club. They'll still be serving food at this hour, and I'm hungry.
Your club?
Yes, one of them.
How many do you belong to?
3. Please don't ask me about them.
Private gentlemen's clubs? No women allowed?
She teases, and I know she's laughing at me. Women allowed, at all of them. Especially one, a dominance haven, though I haven't been for a while. She gives me an inquisitive look. What? I ask.
Nothing,
she says. I leave the car with the valet and we travel up to the Mile High Club at the top of Columbia Tower. Our table isn't ready immediately, so we sit at the bar.
Cristal, ma'am?
I hand Anna a glass of chilled champagne.
Why, thank you, sir.
She stresses the last word and bats her eyelashes at me. She moves her legs, drawing my attention to them. Her dress is hiked up, exposing a little more of her thigh. Are you flirting with me, Miss Steele?
Yes, Mr. Gray, I am. What are you going to do about it?
Oh, Anna, I love when you throw down the gauntlet. I'm sure I can think of something, I murmur. Carmine, the maitre d', gives me a wave. Come, our table's ready. I step back and hold out my hand while she gracefully slips off the bar stool, and I follow. Her ass looks great in this dress. Ah. A wicked idea pops into my mind. Before she sits down at our table, I touch her elbow. Go and take your panties off, I whisper in her ear. Go. Now. She inhales quickly, and I remember the last time she went pantyless, and how she turned the tables on me then. Maybe she will again. She gives me a haughty look, but without saying a word, hands me her glass of champagne and saunters to the ladies' restroom. While I wait at the table, I scan the menu. It reminds me of our dinner in the private room at the Heathman. I summon the waiter and hope that Anna won't give me a hard time because I'm ordering her meal.
Can I help you, Mr. Gray?
Please, 12 Kumamotos to start, and then 2 orders of the sea bass with hollandaise sauce and sautéed potatoes, and a side of asparagus.
Very good, sir. Would you like anything from the wine list?
Not right now. We'll stick to the champagne. The waiter scuttles off, and Anna appears, a secret smile playing on her lips. Oh, Anna, she wants to play, but I'm not going to touch her. Yet. I want to drive her crazy. Standing, I motion to the seat. Sit beside me. She slides in and I join her, mindful not to sit too close. I've ordered for you. I hope you don't mind. Careful not to touch her fingers with mine, I give her back her glass of champagne. She fidgets beside me but takes a sip of the Cristal. The waiter returns with the oysters on ice. I think you liked oysters last time you tried them.
Only time I've tried them?
Her breathing stalls. She's eager. Oh, Miss Steele, when will you learn? I tease, taking an oyster from the dish. I lift my hand from my thigh and she leans back in anticipation of my touch, but I reach for some lemon.
Learn what?
She whispers, as I squeeze lemon juice over the shellfish. Eat. I hold the shell up to her mouth. She parts her lips and I rest the shell on her bottom lip. Tip your head back slowly. With a smoldering look, she does as she's told and I tip the oyster into her mouth. She closes her eyes in appreciation and I help myself to one. Another? I ask. She nods and this time I add a little mignonette sauce and still I don't touch her. She swallows and licks her lips. Good? She nods. I eat another, then feed her one more. She says, and the sound resonates the length of my cock. Still like oysters? I ask as she swallows the final one. She nods again.
Good. I place my hands on my thighs, flexing my fingers, and I'm gratified when she shifts beside me. But as much as I want to, I refrain from touching her. The waiter tops off our champagne and clears our plates. Anna squeezes her thighs together and rubs her hands over them, and I think I hear a frustrated sigh. Oh, baby, craving my touch. The waiter returns with our entrees. Anna eyes me with suspicious recognition as the food is placed on the table.
A favorite of yours, Mr. Gray?
Most definitely, Miss Steele. Though I believe it was cod at the Heathman.
I seem to remember we were in a private dining room then, discussing contracts.
Happy days. This time I hope to get to fuck you. I reach for my knife and she fidgets beside me. I take a bite of sea bass.
Don't count on it.
She mutters, and I know without looking that she's pouting. Oh, playing hard to get, Miss Steele.
Speaking of contracts,
she continues.
The NDA...
Tear it up.
What? Really?
Yes.
You're sure I'm not going to run to the Seattle Times with an exposé?
I laugh, knowing how shy she is. No, I trust you. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Ditto,
she says. I'm very glad you're wearing a dress.
Why haven't you touched me then?
Missing my touch? I tease.
Yes,
she exclaims. Eat.
You're not going to touch me, are you?
No. I hide my amusement. She looks outraged. Just imagine how you'll feel when we're home, I add. I can't wait to get you home.
It will be your fault if I combust here on the 76th floor.
She sounds pissed. Oh, Anastasia, we'd find a way to put the fire out. She narrows her eyes and takes a bite of her supper. The sea bass is delicious, and I'm hungry. She wriggles in her seat and her dress rides up a little, exposing more of her skin. She takes another bite, then puts down her knife and runs her hand up the inside of her thigh, her fingertips drumming as she does. She's toying with me. I know what you're doing.
I know that you know, Mr. Gray. That's the point.
She takes an asparagus stalk between her fingers and, with a sideways glance at me, dips the spear into the hollandaise sauce and swirls it around and around. You're not turning the tables on me, Miss Steele. I take the asparagus from her. Open your mouth. She opens her mouth and runs her tongue across her bottom lip. Tempting, Miss Steele. Very tempting. Wider, I command. And she bites her bottom lip, but complies, easing the stalk into her mouth and sucking. Fuck. It might as well be my cock. She moans quietly and takes a bite and reaches for me. I stop her with my other hand. Oh, no, you don't, Miss Steele. I brush my lips across her knuckles. Don't touch, I scold, and place her hand on her knee.
You don't play fair.
I know. I raise my champagne glass. Congratulations on your promotion, Miss Steele. We clink glasses.
Yes, kind of unexpected,
she says, looking a little discouraged. Does she doubt herself? I hope not. Eat. I change the subject. I am not taking you home until you've finished your meal, and then we can really celebrate.
I'm not hungry. Not for food.
Anna. Anna, so easily distracted. Eat or I'll put you across my knee right here and we'll entertain the other diners. She shifts in her seat, making me think a spanking might be welcome, but her pursed lips tell a different story. Picking up an asparagus stalk, I dip the head into the hollandaise. Eat this. I tempt her. She does, keeping her eyes on me. You really don't eat enough. You've lost weight since I've known you.
I just want to go home and make love.
I grin. So do I, and we will. Eat up. She sighs as if in defeat and starts tucking into her food. I follow her example. Have you heard from your friend? I ask.
Which one?
the guy staying in your apartment.
Oh, Ethan. Not since he took Mia out for lunch.
I'm doing some work with his and Kate's father.
Oh?
Yes. Kavanaugh seems like a solid guy.
He's always been good to me,
she answers, and my earlier thoughts about a hostile takeover of Kavanaugh's business recede. She finishes her supper and places her knife and fork on her plate. Good girl.
What now?
She asks, her expression needy. Now, we leave. I believe you have certain expectations, Miss Steele, which I intend to fulfill to the best of my ability.
The best of your ability?
She stutters. I grin and stand up.
Don't we have to pay?
I'm a member here. They'll bill me. Come, Anastasia, after you. I step aside, and Anna gets up from the table and pauses beside me to smooth her dress down over her thighs. I can't wait to get you home. I follow her out of the restaurant and stop to talk to the maitre d'. Thanks, Carmine. Superb as always. You're welcome, Mr. Gray. And can you call down to have the car brought to the front? No problem. Good night. As we get into the elevator, I take Anna's elbow and steer her toward the far corner. I stand behind her and watch as other couples get in. Hell. Link, Elena's ex, joins us, wearing a shit brown suit. What an asshole. Gray, he acknowledges me. I nod, and I'm relieved when he turns around. The fact that he's here, only inches away, makes what I'm about to do even more exciting. The doors close and I kneel quickly, pretending to do up my shoelace. I place my hand around Anna's ankle, and as I stand, I skim my hand up her calf, past her knee, and her thigh to her ass. Her naked ass. She tenses and I slide my left arm around her waist and pull her to me while my fingers skate down her ass to her sex. The elevator stops at another floor and we shuffle back as one to let more people on board. But I'm not interested in them. Slowly I brush her clitoris once, twice, thrice, and then move my fingers back to her heat. Always so ready, Miss Steele, I whisper as I inch my middle finger inside her. I hear her faint gasp. Keep still and quiet, I warn, so only she can hear me. Slowly I move my finger in and out, on and on, as my excitement grows.